Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. From chapter 3, we will read verses 13 through 17. In the New King James Version, Pew Bible, we're on page 1378. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to John, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed Jesus. When Jesus had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Jesus, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. What does baptism mean? In Remember Who You Are, William Willimon writes, Whenever anyone asks me, what does baptism mean? I always respond, baptism means everything that water means. But then when I ask them, what does water mean? I receive such answers as cleansing and refreshment and life. And while all of these things are true to our experience of water and also true to the New Testament ways of speaking about baptism, but even these rich images do not say enough, for they overlook the primary New Testament way of speaking about baptism. Baptism is death. Water was at the very beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. First, God created light. Then God made the sky by dividing the waters above from the waters below. And then God gathered the waters together so that dry land appeared and heaven and earth were separated. In the second chapter of Genesis, a river sustains life in the Garden of Eden. However, a few chapters later, because of the evil of humankind, God causes the waters of life to become a gushing, surging torrent of death and destruction. While Noah and his family are safe in the ark, the death waters rise, and during dark, wet 40 days and nights, God wiped out every living thing that existed on earth. Our bodies contain several gallons of water, but only a teaspoon or so in the wrong place can bring instant, suffocating, terrifying death. It is with great interest that we watch Jesus leave Galilee and go probably about 80 miles to John at the Jordan River to be plunged in the river by John. John, like the prophets before him, prepared the way. The preparation which John urges is a baptism of repentance. People are to repent of their wrongdoing and be baptized to get ready for the coming Messiah. John makes his purpose clear from the beginning and to all. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus go to John to be baptized? What did Jesus need to prepare for and repent of? John wondered that himself. He tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? Jesus indicated that it was fitting to fulfill righteousness. Jesus was taking on the sins of humanity, taking on our sins, and this baptism linked him to our need to repent and his dying for our sin. In What's in a Word, David Winter gives us a good understanding of the word repent. Repent literally means to change your mind. It's not altering your opinion slightly or changing your stance, but it's undergoing a deep and a lasting change of mind. To repent in the Christian meaning is to accept that our view of a matter is wrong and God's view is right. Repenting and believing are two sides of the same action. To repent is to turn from doing what is wrong, and to believe is to turn to what is right and to put your trust in it. So we turn from wrong and we turn to right. So the baptismal promise is to renounce evil and to turn to Christ. Our Messiah comes not as a military overlord. He comes as a servant. He is obedient to God. Jesus is agreeing with God's plan to save people and turn them toward God, where there'll be a covenant. It'll be written on our minds and our hearts. It's penned by God's Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized by John. When Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Noticing that some of the stores moved directly the day after Christmas to Easter, someone groaned, "We just got Jesus born, and now we're resurrecting him." Well, while I laughed and I also wanted to slow down our merchandising, I must admit that resurrection is always a part of our Christian story. Even today, as we remember Jesus' baptism, we are reminded that in his ministry, Jesus anticipated his death, and he called it a baptism. Jesus said in Luke 20:50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished." Jesus faced his baptism of death on the cross. Jesus' resurrection from the dead completed his saving work. While Jesus' saving work may have been done, his own baptismal process having been completed, Jesus then commands his disciples to begin our saving work of drawing people to God, to Jesus, so that they can be saved. So Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We die to our old selves, our old way of thinking. The fruits of baptism are essentially a changed life in Christ. We are dead to that old self, and we are alive to Christ. Jesus taught us and showed us many things about God. There are two acts that Jesus told us to do as his followers. We are to baptize, and we are to receive the Lord's Supper. These two strong tenets of our faith are often discussed as to how we should do it and when we should do it and how often these should be observed. But today, let us focus on their strengths in growing our faith. No matter when or how we're baptized, it's an outward sign of the invisible grace of God in our lives. It did not complete our faith journey with God, but it began the work which God will continue until we are complete with him. And Jesus told us to remember him with the Lord's Supper. In Luke 22:19, Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We receive Holy Communion in gratitude. It's also received as a connector to us, to our God, through Jesus. We must have the power of God in our lives, in this new covenant, to have a changed heart and to become more like Christ. So remembering our baptism and receiving the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that God is always with us, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We are yours through faith. Thank you for our baptism and Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.